Let's pray again. Let's turn to God in prayer. Father, we commend thine own word tonight to thee, not only here, but wherever it's preached. We pray that it may not return to thee void. We pray that it may not fall to the ground. We pray that it may be heard, and heard in the light of eternity, heard in the light of the judgment to come. We pray, Father, that people may very carefully hear thy word, knowing that we all shall be judged accordingly one day. Help us to hear for our profit, even, Lord, to the salvation of our eternal, precious and immortal souls, and that we might hear, Father, not only for our own good, but for thy glory too. So hear us now and help us, we pray, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
And well, dear friends, I want to take for my text, our text tonight, Mark chapter 3 and the first 6 verses, because before Christmas we were going through this gospel. I want to recommence it and continue it now. So Mark chapter 3 and verses 1 to 6, I'm not going to read those to you again, just to tell you, as I usually do, that you have a passage like this in 2 of the other gospels. You have it in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 9 to 14, and also in Luke chapter 6 and verses 6 to 11. But for tonight, the first 6 verses of Mark chapter 3. So that means before Christmas, that Lord's Day morning before Christmas, we were looking at the last verses of chapter 2, they're verses 23 to 28. And those were all about one particular Sabbath day in the life and ministry of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And Mark told us and tells us a number of things about that particular day. First of all, what our Lord Jesus Christ was doing, at least during part of it in verse 23, that he was out and about, going from one place to another, going through or walking through the fields of corn, the cornfields, going from one place to another, perhaps to from a place of worship, from synagogue to synagogue, in order to preach there and teach and heal. And then secondly, we saw also what the disciples were doing on this particular Sabbath day as they came behind the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was walking ahead of them in the cornfields, they were going through the cornfields, and they were plucking the ears of corn because they were hungry. And they would have rubbed the corn between their hands, probably quite their rough hands because they were fishermen, and then they were eating the corn. But remember, thirdly, we saw that the Pharisees, these self-righteous religious men, were also active, and they quite wrongly and unlawfully, according to God's law, but not according to their own rabbinical law, they quite unfairly, rather cruelly, accuse the Lord Jesus Christ, and they accuse the disciples of, in effect, sounds quite ridiculous really, working on the Sabbath day, doing unnecessary work. Because according to their teaching, or the teaching of their scribes, the teaching of their rabbis, what the disciples were doing was that they were harvesting or they were reaping, when of course they were doing nothing of the kind. And what they were doing was quite in accordance with the Old Testament scriptures. And so the Lord Jesus Christ told them as much in verses 25 to 28. He answered them directly, and he told them that his disciples weren't doing anything wrong whatsoever. What they were doing was quite lawful, but of course what the Pharisees were doing, unlovingly, was unlawful, was illegal. So our conclusions were as follows. We concluded by saying that, first of all, it is all right for us as Christians, wherever we are, it's all right for us to do works of mercy and necessity on the Sabbath day, but it's not all right to do unnecessary work. Of course, what the disciples was doing was fine. They weren't working. They were just plucking the ears of corn because they were hungry. So those were that's what we were looking at last time on that Lord's Day evening before Christmas. And really what we were looking at last time, and this time is connected, because what we have in these next verses is an illustration of what it's all right to do on the Sabbath day. Because the Lord Jesus Christ works a work of mercy in this next passage, showing to these Pharisees, showing to his disciples, that it's all right to do that on the, what we now know as the Lord's Day. So we're looking at Mark 3 and verses 1 to 6. And Mark 6 is also, of course, about, it's not only teaching that, it's also telling us about our Lord Jesus Christ's miraculous, it's another miraculous healing, and a work of mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and a work of compassion. His miraculous healing of a man with a withered hand on another Sabbath day. Not the Sabbath day that we have at the end of chapter 2. This takes place on another Sabbath day, according to one of the other Gospels. And our Lord does this to show that there's nothing wrong, as I say again, to re-emphasize this, there is nothing wrong in doing works of mercy and necessity on the Sabbath. We must avoid all unnecessary and regular and usual work. We do that. By that, we break God's day and break the commandment. Well, let's look at this incident in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at this miraculous healing, what we have here, what Mark tells us about it. So if we look first of all at verse 1, in verse 1 we're told about the Lord Jesus Christ coming again into the synagogue, into one of the synagogues, probably up in Galilee. It may have been, it's probably the synagogue at Capernaum. And Mark tells us that when, and the other gospel writers, because I mix in those in as well, they tell us that when our Lord was departed from where he'd been before, we're not sure where he was coming from. But wherever he's coming from, he enters, or he goes, on another Sabbath day, once more, into the, or one of the other gospel writers says, into their, perhaps referring to the Pharisees, perhaps referring to his disciples, he enters once again into the synagogue, and we're not absolutely sure which one it was, probably the one at Capernaum, and there, once again, he teaches. And all that I want to bring out of that this evening is this, my dear friends, that you and I need to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, and one of the ways in which we're to do that is to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, if he is our personal Lord and Saviour. We're to keep the Sabbath day ourselves by entering into his house and worshipping God, worshipping the Father, and worshipping him, worshipping the Father through him. So I can see that you're doing that tonight. I trust that you did that this morning. And I trust also that if you're a Christian, this is something that you will do all this year, if Christ tarries, and if the Lord spares you, that you will follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll go to church on the Sabbath day, if not to teach, to be taught, and have a teachable spirit, to be taught from his word, and to profit thereby, to have your soul profited thereby. So that's the first thing that Mark tells us, our Lord coming again into the synagogue at Capernaum. But then we're told about a man who is there when our Lord enters into it with his disciples. Of course, the Pharisees are there, and others are there too. But there's somebody else who's there, probably a man who is resident in Capernaum, if it was the Capernaum synagogue. And Mark is particularly keen to point out, just like Luke in his gospel, because Luke was a doctor, Luke was a physician, particularly keen to point out this man's physical condition. Mark tells us that he's there in this synagogue, but that he had a paralyzed or shriveled, withered, if you like, a withered right hand. Mark doesn't go into detail about a right hand, but one of the other gospel writers does. He has a paralyzed, shriveled, or withered right hand. And some of the old Jewish writers said that the man, don't know how they knew this, was a stonemason who pleaded with Jesus to heal him that he might not have to spend his life as a beggar. That might be so, it might not be so at all. Because the actual text that we have in the Synoptic Gospel writers doesn't really tell us this man might have been born like this. It might have been congenital. He might have had a disease, and it's rendered his hand like this, his arm like this. It might have been he had an accident or an injury. If he was a stonemason, perhaps somebody hit his hand, or perhaps a rock, a boulder, fell upon it. And as a result of that, he had no strength in his hand. His hand, but that part of his arm, was dead. And the man-made rabbinical rule that only in such cases in which a man's life was actually in danger would it be permissible to heal him on the Sabbath day was widely endorsed by the Pharisees, and by the scribes, and by the Sadducees. That was the only case that a man like this could be healed. As if his life was in danger. That was their rule, not God's. So would Jesus dare to oppose this rule, this man-made tradition, this custom, this rule, by the Pharisees regarded as a well-established and basic principle which must not be violated? What was it that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to do? You suppose you could have cut the atmosphere at a knife. Was he going to go along with their tradition, with their teaching, with the rabbinical teaching? Or was he going to show that it is all right, it is lawful, it is proper and good and glorifying to God to do works of mercy on the Sabbath day? But before we press on, I don't think it'd be right to look at this passage here without especially focusing. I know it's teaching here about the Sabbath day and what's right and what's not right to do on the Sabbath day, but we must focus in upon this man and upon his physical condition. He was a man with a withered hand. His hand was lifeless. His hand was paralyzed. His hand, if you like, was dead. And the way I'd like to apply that this evening is this: perhaps somebody here this evening is in a similar kind of case, not physically, but spiritually. Not in terms of your hand, but in terms of your soul, in terms of your spiritual heart, if you like. Did you have somebody here whose soul, because of sin and because of the fall, is dead, is lifeless, is withered, is spiritually paralyzed, that you have no spiritual life, and therefore you have no life to repent of your sins, and you have no life to lay hold on the Lord Jesus Christ and on his salvation. You have no strength to lay hold upon eternal life. You are strengthless and totally impotent. Well, I think that this man's case here offers up hope for you. If there was hope for this man, if Jesus could help this man, he could heal this man physically, well then, my dear friend, he can also equally ably heal you spiritually of a withered heart and a withered soul, a sinful, fallen soul that is going to hell. So let's bear that in mind as we look at this passage here. Well then, in verse 2, Mark tells us about these Pharisees. And one of the other gospel writers tells us not only Pharisees there, but also their scribes were there too, their teachers. And he tells us about their cruelty and unkindness towards the Lord Jesus Christ. That they were there in the synagogue, and they weren't looking at the man with the withered hand, but they were observing, watching very closely the Lord Jesus Christ. They were looking at him scrupulously, very closely indeed. In fact, Matthew tells that they even asked him, saying, "Is it lawful? Is it right? Is it proper to heal on the Sabbath days?" But Mark just tells them they were watching him. And the reason was they were watching to see whether Christ would heal on the Sabbath day. And the reason they want to see this is because if he does, They feel that if he does this on the Sabbath day, and if he heals this man, and this man is not in danger of dying, then he'd be breaking their code, their laws, their teachings. And thus, they might have reason to accuse him or bring a charge to find an accusation against the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke tells us, but he knew their thoughts. So commentator says, if so, they would be in a position to press charges against him for unnecessarily practicing medicinal therapy on that day. If he healed this man, they would say that was an unlawful work, that was unnecessary. But of course it wasn't. It was an act. It would be an act of compassion. It would be an act of omnipotence. But it would be an act of compassion and of kindness and of love and mercy upon that man. So this is what Mark is teaching here, and our Lord is teaching here. It's fine to do such things on the Sabbath day. But I wonder, my dear friends, they were wondering, is the Lord Jesus Christ going to heal on this particular Sabbath day that they might accuse him? But I wonder whether today, my dear friend, even tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ might miraculously and spiritually heal your withered soul on this particular Sabbath day. I can still remember the Sabbath day that I became a Christian, that I was converted, that God began to pump spiritual life into my dead soul, and the day that he gave me repentance of my sins and faith in his Son Jesus Christ in order to take away my sins by his death upon the cross. I remember that Sabbath day. That is a Sabbath day set apart from all Sundays in my life. It may not be that you become a Christian on the Sabbath day, but if you not become a Christian, perhaps it might be today, perhaps it might be tonight, that God comes to you and spiritually heals you and brings new life into your soul. You come to experience the life of God in the soul of man into your soul. What a wonderful day that'd be. God will crown his day by such a conversion. And it'll be a very memorable Sunday for us as a church if that happens to you tonight. And the Lord loves to save on his day. He loves to spiritually heal on his day. So next, fourthly, if we have the Pharisees' cruelty towards the Lord Jesus Christ, now in verses 3 and 4, we have our Lord's command, first of all to the man, and then a number of questions for the Pharisees and for the scribes. His command to the man with the withered hand was this, that he might rise up from where he was. He must have perhaps been in a corner, but the Lord Jesus Christ is going to use him as an illustration and as an example to show that there's nothing wrong with doing works of mercy and compassion on the Sabbath day. So he brings him right perhaps into the center of the synagogue. He asks him to get up or to rise up, come, to step forward, to stand forth in the midst. And Luke tells us that is what he did. He rose from where he was sitting and he stood forth in the midst of that Jewish congregation in the synagogue of Capernaum. But then he asks the Pharisees these questions. He says to them, is it lawful? Is it permitted? Is it proper? Is it right to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil or harm? And the answer is simple. A child could answer it. Of course, it is right to do good on the Sabbath day. And Jesus is just about to do good and there's nothing wrong with what he's going to do. But of course, it's wrong to do evil or harm on the Sabbath day, and that is what they were doing. They were harming the cause, weren't they? They were being critical. And also, they were going about to kill him. It's something that I'd never seen in this passage before. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say, is it lawful to save life? As he was going to do, as far as this man was going to do, and give this man a new lease of life in a way, because he wouldn't have been able to work with a damaged hand. But if he healed his hand, he wouldn't have to beg He'd be able to ply his trade if he was a stonemason or whatever he was, to save life, or to do what you're doing, you Pharisees, to going about to destroy or to kill, because they were going about to seek to destroy and kill him. If they could find an accusation against him, level an accusation against him, a charge against him, then they felt then that they could put him to death, which was right. What he was about to do, what they were going about doing at this time. Commentator says, if it's right to do good with respect to God and man on any ordinary day of the week, would not be right to do good on the Sabbath day. Well, before our Lord commands the man and heals the man, in verse 4 we have, Mark tells us about the Pharisees' silence at this, their quietness. They don't answer his questions. They hold their peace. They remain silent to see what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do. And I suppose the reason for their silence, of course, is this. They're not interested in any answers. They're not interested in the truth, aren't they? About what may or may not be done. So the only thing they're interested in is going about to find an accusation against Christ and in order to put him to death. That's all that interests these men. So in verse 5, our Lord then commands this man, after he has looked round about on the Pharisees, with momentary anger it means, but with a continual deep grief for the hardness and the coldness of their hearts and their stiff-necked nature, he now speaks to this man and he tells him, hold out, stretch forth your hand. But how could this man do this? Because this man has a withered hand. It is powerless. It is broken. Perhaps he's been injured by an accident. Perhaps he's never had strength. He's never been able to do anything like this. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by divine command, commands this man, you hold out, you stretch forth your hand right now. And his command is powerful and effectual. It's not you may do this if you want to or not, but this, you are going to do it. And along with the command came the power to obey and came the ability to do. Well, my dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have a withered heart, if you have a withered soul, sinful soul, he doesn't say that to you. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say to you tonight? He says this. He says, in the light of all that I've done for you, in the light of my perfect obedience in my life, that if you believe in me, I will give you my righteousness. And in the light of my perfect death upon the cross, to take away your sins, if you believe in me, he says to you, in the light of the gospel, the commands of the gospel, he says, repent of your sins, turn away from your sins, and believe on me. You say, well, how can I do that? You said that my soul is dead, I'm dead in trespasses and sins. I know, my dear friends, but God can give you life. God can give you the power to do. He can give you the ability. He can give you the enabling. He can give you new life. He can give you the new birth. He can regenerate you. He can infuse his strength into you, spiritual strength, so that when he says to you, repent, you do repent. When he says, believe on me, you do believe on him. You lay hold on Christ with both hands, as it were. You grasp him. You grip his salvation. You lay hold on eternal life. And you know it's yours. You take it to yourself, to the salvation that is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, has God given you the power to do that? To lay hold on the Lord Jesus Christ. To lay hold on his salvation. Lay hold on eternal life. And to believe in his name. As if you felt his strength coming into you. New life, new will, new power. To obey the gospel. Indeed to repent and believe in God's only begotten and beloved Son. Christ commands this man to do this. And in verse 5, seventhly and penultimately, we read here about his miraculous cure, and it was a miracle. This man does indeed stretch to the amazement. Should have been to the amazement of the Pharisees, but their hearts were hardened and cold. But the amazement of everybody else. Our Lord does another miracle, another healing miracle, and he does indeed stretch out his hand. And his hand, we're told, was restored, sound or whole, just like his other one. Wasn't anything wrong with his other hand. And now the Lord heals this one, and it is strong, and it's right. It's not broken anymore. It's been healed, and his strength in his hand to ply his trade and to do his work. It reminds me of the healing of Naaman the Syrian of his leprosy. The Lord healed him of his leprosy, that his skin, his flesh, returned back, as it were, as a little child, so when he was a baby, just like everybody else's. When the Lord restores this man's hand, it's just like his other one. It is perfectly sound. Well, my dear friend, before we close, may I ask you, has the Lord done something like this for you spiritually? Has your withered soul been restored whole? Just like any other Christians, you've become just like them. God has given you spiritual soundness, spiritual health, spiritual wholeness, spiritual health before him, just like other Christians. Well, he must have praised God, and the disciples too, and the others in the synagogue. That Sabbath day, we left with the Pharisees here. Verse 6 shows you just how depraved man is by nature, and nothing but a miracle of grace can really penetrate and change people. We leave them with their counsel, the Pharisees' counsel. They left the synagogue filled with fury and madness, and they go to consult with one another and to take counsel. Well, actually, not only with one another straight away, but also, amazingly, with the Herodians. The amazing thing about that is, before, they were probably enemies. Herodians were the sacrilegious, unholy, worldly-minded adherents of Herod Antipas and his family. And otherwise, these two would have been at loggerheads one with the other. But they unite in their hatred and the desire for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what brings them together. They take counsel against the Lord and against his Christ, how they might destroy him, what they might do to him. We close with Matthew's words. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he physically healed them all. Our Lord is the great doctor, isn't he? The great physician. Not only the great physical physician, the great spiritual physician. And here we found him once again, miraculously healing a man with a withered hand on a Sabbath day. To illustrate, to show us, to give us an example. We may not do works, unnecessary works on the Sabbath day, but we may do works of mercy and of necessity. And also, very often on the Lord's Day, God heals us spiritually of withered, dead souls. He did it for this man. Has he as yet done it for you? And don't go any further into this new year until you really know that you're a Christian. Don't take the bread and the wine tonight unless you felt the life of God come into your soul. God has given you life and repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and that these things mean something to you. They signify something to you, and they are sealing something to you also. They are such you may come, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved.